We've been in a series talking about hearing God because I believe that God is really wanting us to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church. He's saying, whoever has ears to hear, and in Revelation has said it several times, and he's saying this, it's not a whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. He actually, it's an exclamation point at the end, Revelation 2, where he talks about, and he cries out saying, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, what he's saying to the church. Can raise your hand if you're the church. Because remember, we don't just go to church, but we are to be the church. That's why we say after every time we gather, let's go out and be the church to the unchurched, because that's what God's called us to be. But he's saying, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So we're going to dive into the scriptures about that. Again, Vanessa has talked to me about practical. She goes, you inspired us about how important and the power of prayer, but practically, how do you do that? How do you hear God? I don't know anybody in here that's right here right now and watching online that would say I don't think I need to hear God any better. I think I'm good. I don't think everybody wants to hear God more clearly. Is that true? Yes. Is that true?
Yes.
I mean, I do. I want to hear more clearly. I desire to hear His voice. I mean, is that you? You know, because after 25 years of marriage, Vanessa and I've been married 25 years. Been together longer than that. We were dated for 2.5 years before that. She doesn't call me, even though I do have caller ID. She doesn't call me, and I don't know who. I know that voice. I know that. I told you, I know that voice. I know the tone of that voice. Other day, I mean, she was just telling me, she's like, hey, where are you? And I'm like, I'm in Shields. How? Curse you, Life 360, you know? Life 360 tells my location. You at Bass Pro Shop again? How do you know? Spirit searches all things and reveals them. I don't know. Oh, she's got that app that follows me. Goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life. I got 360 following me. Can't go anywhere. Kids, they know where I'm at. Where are you? Last night I was coming up here to grab a manual for studying. And my daughter goes, where are you going? I'm like, what is this? This is Big Brother family? So anyway, but at the same time, I know her voice. I know the tone. I know when she calls all three of my names that I need to be very carefully coming in to find out what she needs. I know her voice. I familiarize myself with her voice. I know it. And so God wants, here's what you need to know. God wants to speak to you. He has a desire to talk to his people. Matter of fact, he says this, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. He says that, so the qualifications for being able to hear God is to be a sheep. You need to be a sheep. Got any sheep in here?
Yes.
Now today that's got a bad connotation because people are like, they're sheep. They just follow whatever. And so not God's sheep, because God's sheep follow his voice. They follow after the voice of God. They're yearning to hear the voice of God. I want to know what God is saying. And so we're going to talk about that just one. Let me see your Bibles. Can I see your Bibles? Let me see them. Show them to me. See your Bibles. Bring your Bibles to church. Some of you that are new, some of you guys are new for the first time. We're a Bible reading church. I'm not preaching opinion or what I think. Preach from the Word of God. So bring your Bibles or your electronic devices. And so let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy and your loving kindness, Lord, that is better than life. I thank you, Lord, that your goodness, it follows and flows to us. But I pray, Lord, today that you would give us ears to hear what you're saying. And that from this day forward, Lord, we'd be on a journey to hear your voice even more so. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you turn over to Ephesians chapter 1? Now, I just added this morning. This is what, not in the notes, but last week when I read in Matthew the Lord's Prayer and we read it together, this is so you need to know this. Each time I share about hearing God, we're going to read a prayer together. Okay, we're going to do that. And I'm going to do something real quick. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'm not going to ask you to do this every time. I'm going to ask you to stand, but we're going to pray this together. You mind just standing? We're going to read this together. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to start. I said 15 guys, but we're going to start at verse 17. Can we do that? Can you guys skip over to verse 17? And then we'll read. If you didn't bring your Bibles, it'll be up on the screens. Verse 17, we're going to read it together. 1, 2, 3. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, that and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, I'm going to ask you to do this. We're going to do this every time. I want you to just real quick turn somebody and let's pray for them real quick. I want you to just turn to whoever it is around you and pray that the Lord would cause them to be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Look, right now, don't wait for me to do it. Just go ahead. Just do that right now. Lord, right now, we're asking you, Lord, to help us to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. And Lord, we do. We pray, Lord, that even this day forward, we'll be able to hear each one of us, our own, be able to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, what you're saying to us individually, corporately, as the body. And we thank you, Lord, that you're good in every way. And you help us to really see what you're saying and help us to walk therein in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, you can be seated. Now, each time that I share about hearing God, we're going to do a prayer together. We're going to read it together. Is that good with you guys? Too bad if it's not. Anyway, we're gonna pray together because I believe these prayers are powerful. And I've heard some people say to me, especially some of the young people, they go, when I pray, Pastor Chris, when I pray, I'm going to have a hard time hearing God. I have a hard time really hear his voice. How do I know that it's not my conscience? How do I know that it's not my mind thinking? How do I know? What do I do? I really want to hear the voice. I don't know anybody, even sinners, people that don't know God, like they would love to hear the voice of God. And I want to tell you this morning, if you don't hear anything I say this morning, I want you to hear this. God still speaks. He still speaks. And I want to tell you that because in the beginning in the word, it said, and then God said, he's a talking God. He loves to talk to his people. He said, then God spoke and said, let there be light. He's talking like, who's there? I don't know. The Godhead. But then there was light. He still talk. He loves to talk to his people. He desires to talk to his people so much that he wants relationship. He wants relationship with you and to be able to speak to you individually. And so some people are like, well, I know, so I've heard some people say this, well, I know God speaks to you, Chris. Can you tell me? Well, I'm like, no, he wants to speak to you and tell you individually things that you need to hear so that you can do what he's called you to do and be who he's called you to be. His desire is to talk to you. The problem is there's so many outside voices. There's so many other things that the noise needs to be silenced. And so I'm gonna give you some practical things. Turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 35. It's like, how important is hearing the voice of God to you? Mark chapter 1, we're gonna start at verse 35. Now look at this. This is what it says, Mark 1, verse 35. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, this is talking about Jesus, he went out and departed into a solitary place and prayed. Now I'm going to stop there just for a second because I want to tell you some practical ways. Set an appointment. Set an appointment. The other night, Vanessa and I were talking about going on a date. She's like, where are we going? Because her deal is that I don't want to get in the car and go, where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Because I always like to go to the same places. If there's a steak and it says moo, I want it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's just how I am. But she's like, so we're going to set an appointment. This is when we're going to go on a date. There's times I date her. I still date her every week. Sometimes multiple times a week, kids getting out of the house. Every day is Christmas. And so the truth is that we do. But we set an appointment. You set an appointment when you want to go to the dentist. You set an appointment when you want to go to the doctor. You have to call, make an appointment, and set an appointment. This is Jesus. This is what it said. He a great while before a day. My parents, I've showed you guys, they used to have us get up at 5:30 in the morning. It was a terrible time for me. I'm not a morning person. But Dad was like, everybody's getting up. We're going to pray as a family. The family that prays together, you know, beat up each other together and fight together and all that stuff. So we pray at 5:30 in the morning, walking around, sleepwalking, all that stuff. But that was an appointment. That was our time. We never had a curfew at our house. Never had a curfew. Do you know why? Because at 5:30, you were getting up in the morning. I found myself eating at Luby's and going to bed early at 7 o'clock. But like, ooh, I'm looking at the time. Friends are like, hey, we want to go out. It's like, y'all go ahead without me. That 5:30 going to come early in the morning. You know what I'm saying? It's that. We never had a curfew, but at 5:30, we heard Ron Canole in the morning woke us up and with praise, you know, lift him up. You know what I'm saying? We were Ron Canole, you know, he had the same cassette tape and he played it on the same song every morning, and we knew it. Dad was like, Dad, can you play something else? He goes, lift him up. I'm like, you know what, Dad, never mind. But that was our appointment. That's what we pray. So I'm going to tell you, if you want to meet with the Lord, set an appointment to meet with him. Set an appointment. It's important to you that you meet with him. Set an appointment. Get an appointment. Now, that's not the end of that verse, because it said, not only did he rise up. Now, somebody's like, well, Pastor Chris, did you get up early in the morning? My time is, like I said, is at night. I don't know if it's because of rebellion, because my dad got us up at 5:30 in the morning. I don't know. But my time is at night. It's always been at night. I spend time with the Lord, but sometimes he'll wake me up early in the morning. He'll wake me up early in the morning and I'll pray. But listen, he got up a great, whatever your time is, set the appointment. That's all I'm saying. But then not only that, though, look out. Look at the verse. Remember now. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed a great while before day. That's the time. Then it said he departed into a solitary place. So get an appointment, but also get quiet. Get to a place where you're quiet, where you can hear. You shut off all the noise. And be like, you get a place where it's quiet. Get an appointment and get quiet. You know what the hardest thing to do, one of the hardest things to do when I'm trying to pray and try to hear the Lord, is trying to shut off my own mind. Raise your hand if you don't want to raise your hand, wink at me if you don't. But you know, just it's hard. Shut off my own mind. And you know what I do? This is something I do. This is something Pastor Terry told me a long time. I write those things down that are on my mind, and then I offload them to the Lord. Because I can sit there and worry about them and think about them and all those things, but prayer is an opportunity for me to offload that burden onto the Lord. Right? It does me no good to worry about stuff. I sit there and I'm like, man, I don't know how I'm going to do it. And he's like, my strength is made perfect in your weakness. That's why I'm here. Give it to me. And so listen to Pastor Robert Morris just a couple of days ago, and he was talking about, he said, I had this lady tell me, I told him about a burden. He goes, she said, why don't you give it to the Lord? And she goes, I've given it to the Lord many times. And he just stopped and looked at her and he goes, the only way you can give it to the Lord many times is if you've given it to him and you've taken it back. Isn't it true? You give it to the Lord. I give this to you. I give it to you, Lord, right now. I just give this to you because I can't do anything with it. I can't. It's all yours. There it is right there. Next to your pinky toe, right there by your pinky toe. Well, if you're not going to do anything with it, I'll just take it on and take it back. And so we give the Lord the same thing many times, but how about giving it to him and just let him have it? Because he's the only one that can do anything about it. And so it does me no good. So I write it down. I write those things down. So I'm going to tell you too, get an appointment, write some, the Bible talks about in Habakkuk, to write the vision down, make it plain, write those things down. And I journal when that's why I write it in my iPad. These are, I preach from it and I pray from it. There are pages and pages and pages of prayers. I write my prayers down sometimes. I write them down. And you know why I write them down, ladies and gentlemen? Because I can go back and encourage myself in the Lord for all the different times He's answered those prayers. Here's one of them. You guys are sitting out here right now. You guys are answered prayer. I pray. So I write those things down. And here's what he said. So he gets to a place where he gets up, he sets appointment, he goes to a solitary place, a quiet place, and there he prayed. And so what is prayer? How is prayer? It's communication with God. We say it's communication, but it is not a monologue. It's not just time for you to pray, but it's also time for you to hear. So it's really practical. We're going to talk about other practical ways to pray, but those are practical ways. And I write journal. I write things down. I pray. I enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I tell him how I'm thankful. I don't just come in with my requests. I say, Lord, I want to thank you for this. I want to thank you for my family. I want to thank you for my wife. I thank you for 25 years of marriage and I'm still alive. I thank you, Lord, that for my kids. And I thank you, Lord, for all. I thank you for the church. I thank him. Not only do I thank him, I pray scripture. I pray the word. We'll get into that in just a minute. But that's how I pray. That's practical. But it's not just that. I sit and I'm quiet. And I want to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. Sometimes the quiet is just good for me. So just be quiet. So how much time do you pray, Pastor Chris? Do you pray an hour? Do you pray 30 minutes? Do you pray? How long do you pray? I pray as long. I set the appointment for about an hour. But sometimes it goes over. It goes over an hour. Sometimes I find myself 3 hours in. I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, because it's so good when the presence of God. He's there every single time. Does he speak to you every single time? Let me tell you, I'm going to tell you about a way that he speaks to me every single time I'm with him. I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. I'm leaving you at a cliffhanger. But he does. He speaks to me. And I pray, I give him my request, I offload things to him, I pray for my family, I pray the word over that scripture that we just read, I pray that over my family, I pray it over you, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that not only that, I pray, Lord, that they would be filled with wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you and the knowledge of your will for their lives. I pray that over you guys every day. Not only that, I pray other scriptures too that we're going to get into, that we're going to read. But the truth is that's how I pray, practical. And I try to hear. And sometimes I write those things down that the Lord speaks to me because those things are important. They're gold. And you'll find yourself after you pray, just like Jesus did, find yourself hearing those things that will encourage you further. You will find that he will give you what you need for that day. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? So set an appointment, get an appointment, get quiet, pray. And then offload the burden and then write those things down. Those are practical ways. We're going to do some other ones at other times. But listen to the rest of the scripture. It says, a great while, and he prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, all men seek for thee. And Jesus said to them, let's go into the next towns that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. I don't know why I'm reading out of the King James Version. He preached in their synagogues and throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And so here's the truth. You can't go out and do what God's called you to do unless you have your appointment with him. Some pastor told me a long time ago, he said, listen, you do not need to spend more time with people than you spend with God. You can't minister to other people unless you get ministered to, because you can't give away what you don't have. And if you're digging at the bottom of the well, how are you going to help somebody else? If you're not putting the oxygen mask on your face, how are you going to put it on somebody else's face? It don't do you no good. You understand what I'm saying? We minister to. He said that to me a long time ago. So I'm like, I'm spend time with God. He gives me instructions. He empowers me. I ask the Lord to fill me up, Holy Spirit, every day. We talked about that yesterday and setting the captives free. Lord, Holy Spirit, fill me up to overflowing. Somebody said, do you need the Holy Spirit to get to heaven? I need the Holy Spirit to go to Walmart. I need the Holy Spirit. I can't. Have you been to Walmart lately? I need the Holy Spirit everywhere that I go. I got to have the Holy Spirit. So the truth is that I ask him to fill me up on a daily basis. Now, just for a few minutes, I want to talk to you about how does he speak? How does God speak to you? When I was a kid, we grew up in, some of my friends are here from Arkansas, from high school friends that came up here. They were playing airsoft. They brought their youth group up to play airsoft, and they stopped in to see me. But one of my friends that we grew up with, we watched an old show called Different Strokes. You guys remember that, Different Strokes, where it had the drummers and all that different deal? And every once in a while, what I loved is little Gary Coleman would sit there and his brother would say something, and he would say, "What you talking about, Willis?" You might remember that. He would say, "What you talking about, Willis?" Because he didn't understand what he was talking about. We didn't know what he was saying. But he was trying to either say something crazy or try some scheme or some deal that he was trying to come up with, and he didn't understand it. He goes, "What are you talking about?" But here's the deal. If we understand how God speaks, we can better understand how to listen. And let me just tell you something. God has designed us to be listeners, to hear what the Spirit of God, he says, hear, let them hear what the Spirit of God is saying. So in order to be, that's why my mother would say this, Pastor Terry said this yesterday, and that is, he's given us two ears and one mouth. So we need to be listening twice as much as we're speaking. You hear what I'm saying? And so the truth is that he wants to hear. We need to hear what God is saying. But knowing how he talks, how does he speak? So turn over to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I am going to get out of the King James, get back into the New King James Version. Mom, did you hear that? I said that. Okay. Hebrews chapter 1. We're going to start at verse 1. Said God, verse 1, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he has made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power. Everybody say the word of his power. And when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Now I'm going to stop here for a second, because here's what you need to hear. God has spoken. There's a progression. If you hear the progression, he started in times past, you know, in the Old Testament, he spoke by the prophets. But he's saying, now that the Son has come and he is the fulfillment of all things Old Testament, he has spoken by his Son. But then he goes and talks about the word of his power. That's why I had you say that. So I want to tell you this. God speaks through his word. I'm going to say that again. God speaks through his word. Matter of fact, though, he speaks through all kind of other things. But if it doesn't line up with his word, it is wrong. It has to line up with his word. Somebody be like, "Well, I had a dream," which he speaks. How many know he speaks through dreams and visions? Raise your hand if you're dreamers. Raise it high. I want to see you. Dreamers. Okay, good, good. But he speaks through dreams. There's people, he speaks through dreams and interpretation of dreams. He speaks through but he speaks through his word. There is nothing, because his word is living. There's nothing that you'll face in your life that is not found in the word. Is that true? But he speaks through his word. And somebody be like, "Well," and somebody say, "Well, I've had people tell me, well, the Lord told me that I'm supposed to leave my wife, or I'm supposed to this or whatever. I'm supposed to quit my job. I'm supposed to." Number one, what is the word of God saying? What is God saying? Well, I'm supposed to make this decision. Go back to the word. If it's not, you don't find it in the word, find the scriptures. His word is living. It's quick and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul asunder, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is naked in his sight, but all things are open to him with whom we must give an account. His word is alive. It cuts off every access, anything, any excess in your life that doesn't need to be. And you have to live by the word of God. If we're going to live by our emotions and our emotions don't line up with his word, then we need to cut off that emotion and have that emotion line up with his word. If what about a thought? It has to line up with his word. We said his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. But we want them to be. But the truth is he's got to line up with his word. How are we going to live by? We shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God. Are we going to live by his word or are we going to live by what everybody else says? I don't care what everybody else is saying. What is God saying through his word? And if it doesn't line up with his word, you need to back off of it. You need to back off of it and say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not moving. Like Moses said, I'm not moving off this mountain unless your presence go with me. I'm not getting off this place unless your word is confirmed and I'm living by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You want faith to come? You need to read the word of God. Let me just tell you something. Somebody says, well, Pastor Chris, what's the best place to read in scripture? I'm going to tell you. On the inside. That's the best place to read the word of God. I've already memorized the outside. Holy Bible. I've already memorized the outside. I've got it memorized, got it down. Holy Bible, I really do. Read on the inside. There's no way for me to be able to tell you. I wish I could. I remember I told you this. I wish I could walk up behind you, go smack, and you'd be like, how beautiful it is to dwell in dwelling places. I wish I could do that, but I can't. You've got to open the word up and read it and get it on the inside. The word on the inside is on the word that you read on the inside has got to get on the inside of you. Not only do you read the word, but you got the word read you. It's not just black ink on white paper. It's living. The word of God is living. And so it's got to line up with the word. Absolutely has to line up with the word. So he speaks through his word. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's why important for you to read bring your Bible because we're scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 9. This is one of those scriptures that we like to read, but we need to read the rest of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 says this, but as it is written, and they're quoting another verse, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Isn't that a good passage? And so eye has not seen. And think about it. No eye has seen, nor ears heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Anybody in here love him? Can I get a witness? Anybody in here love him? Okay, good. I'm glad because not only do you love him, but he loves you. He first loved you. It said, but God has revealed them to us through his spirit. Everybody say his spirit. Now, so I'm going to say this to you. God speaks through his word, but he also speaks through his spirit. He speaks through his spirit. Yeah, just so you know, if you're here for the first time, you done stumbled into a spirit-filled church. We believe in the power of the Spirit. We believe the Holy Spirit is alive and well today. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that he still sets the captives free. We still believe that he said in his word that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There's freedom. That is actually read, where the Spirit is, Lord, there is freedom. We believe that he's still healing bodies. He still raises the dead. He still is setting the captives free. He's still saving souls. The Spirit of God is moving in our midst, and he's moving through the church. We believe that the Spirit of God fills us up on a daily basis, and that and not only that, we pray in the Spirit. We live by the Spirit. We're led by the Spirit. We know that the Spirit is at work in our lives. We are transformed by his Spirit, and this is a Spirit-filled church that believes that. Amen. We believe that. We believe that. And so that's just how it is. And he speaks to us by his Spirit. And I'm telling you what, some people be like, I'm just so full of the Spirit because I'm so full of the Spirit. I'm like, let me tell you what Spirit you're full of though before you come and tell me that. And some of y'all be like, man, I'm so full of him. I'm like, you full of it. And so anyway, so here's what he says. Let me go on before I get myself in trouble. For the Spirit, and this is why he speaks to his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Now, here's what's cool about that. God is unsearchable for us, but the Spirit of God searches the deep things of God so that he can reveal them to us. Now, that's what I love about the Spirit is he does the work. He does the work so that I don't understand. I don't understand these things. I don't understand this. I don't understand that. Holy Spirit's like, good, because I'm searching the deep things of God. Here's what he said. He said, for he searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So I love this because you got to read it this way. It says, says, but the Spirit, but God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Then it has a comma there, because the scripture is knowing what you're thinking and is going to answer you before you ask it. He searches all things. And you go, but yes, the deep things of God. Because you already were about to ask that. But he said, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except for the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. And let me ask you a question. Do you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you? Because you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you, then you're able to, the Spirit of God searches those things and he wants to reveal those things to you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that we have been freely given to us by God, that we may know those things freely given to us by God. How many know God has given us some things that freely cost him everything, but given to us freely? That's a good God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And listen to this. We're not trying to hear. That's why Paul said, I didn't come to you with all those persuasive words, but I came in demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit, and I preached Christ and him crucified. He said, I didn't come, but the Spirit of God, that's what he said, Spirit of God, it teaches. How many know that he's the best teacher? You want to know something? The Holy Spirit will teach you. He'll give. I'm a YouTube mechanic. I try to search stuff on YouTube. I don't know how to do something. Anybody else other than me? Come on, be honest. You don't even search YouTube. YouTube will show you how to do anything. You know, you don't search YouTube. You know, and so the truth is that you can do. I can watch YouTube. I can turn on the tutorial, watch it, and still get it wrong sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Because I think, and you know, men, we don't follow directions. We don't want to put, what man do I know? Maybe some of you guys are humble yourself, dude, but I don't know directions. I mean, I got my ego, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to follow directions. Come out and the dollhouse had, you know, one wall fall down, you know what I'm saying? Screws missing, you know, just sweep them under the rug, you know, hey, enjoy, collapse on them, you know, and I've had that. But the truth is, in follow directions. And some of y'all are laughing, but you don't follow directions well either. And the truth is, God is saying, listen, if you want to be taught the things that I want to reveal to you, ask the Spirit, because he'll reveal it to you. The Holy Spirit will teach you all things that have to do with God. If I want to be taught, I want to be taught by the best teachers. Amen. We're taught by, Vanessa and I was just graduated with our master's degree. And somebody asked me, he's like, did you enjoy that experience? What did you learn? I go, I learned that I know nothing. About somebody said, I learned some stuff. I learned some scripture. I learned, you know, I had systematic theology. I learned some hermeneutics. I learned some of those other things. But let me tell you something. The truth is that I learned that God is unsearchable. There's all sorts of things that I just like, Lord, I want to know this. I want to know that. And all it did was really create a hunger in me to know more about him. The truth is I have the best teacher that lives on the inside of me, because he said this, that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me and quickens my mortal body. The same Spirit. So he will teach you what it is that you need to know. You want to learn how to be a better husband? Ask the Holy Spirit. You want to learn how to be a wife? Ask the Holy Spirit. You want to know how to be a father, a mother, a great employee? Ask the Spirit. And then here's what they're all working together. You ask the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not going to contradict the Word, and the Father speaks, and Jesus is going to, he said, I didn't come in my own accord. I only speak and see and do what I hear and see the Father doing. So they're all working together to help you be the best version of yourself, because they're all working together on the inside to help you be who God's called you to be. It doesn't get any better than that. You got the best of it. We have the best of all of it if we will ask. So he speaks through his Word. He speaks by his Spirit. There's other ways. He speaks through dreams and visions. Think about Jacob, different dreams and visions. He speaks through his people. There's other scriptures. I'm about to close. But I have, you hear me say this a lot, and I want to encourage you. He speaks to me through fathers and mothers in my life. I have so many people speaking into my life. I have so many people that try to tell me how to run the church too. Anyway, the truth is I have people, and I go to them sometimes. I mean, I called one last night. I'm just having these thoughts in my head. You know, what do you think? They gave me some counsel, and they prayed with me. Who do you have speaking into your life that you know will tell you the truth, not tell you what you want to hear? I don't have any of them that tell me what I want to hear. None of them. I mean, I can say things. I know I preach a good message. And I'll be like, hey, what'd you think about that message? I'll be like, you know, you're growing in the Lord. You know, God's called you to be growing. I'm not going to call any names, Gerald. Anyway, I'm just saying. But I appreciate that. I'm kidding. I do. I appreciate that. I'll be like, I know I killed that message. I'll be like, well, you know, God's got the good things in store for you. And stay close to him. He'll teach you even more. You know, just like, what can you just say? That was a great message. I'm just kidding. He has said that before. But they don't tell me things I want to hear. Sometimes I've wanted to get out of things and I wanted to quit things. And they go, well, you stay in the pain. God's teaching you something through this. You stay in it. I'm like, well, I don't want to stay in it. I don't care what you want to do. What is God saying? Okay. All right. You know what I'm saying? Now, some of you are laughing, but this is what some of you will do. You say, I got counsel. And this is what you'll do. You'll go and be like, Pastor Chris, what do you think about this? And be like, well, this is what the word says, and this is what I think you should do. Somebody else, what do you think about this? Like, well, this is what the word says. This is what the Spirit of God is saying, and what you're saying doesn't seem to line up with the scriptures. And so I don't think you should do it. Okay, over here. Let me just ask you what do you thought? Sounds good to me. That right there. That's the Spirit of God right there speaking to. And some of you, you're laughing, but some of y'all do that. Trying to find what you want to hear so that you can do what you want to do. Your life is not about doing what you want to do. Your life is about doing the will of the Father. And if you can't do the will of the Father, then why will you do the will of the Father? Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is the truth. Stop doing that. Stop trying to get counsel to fit with your narrative. That's what the world does. They're trying to find out what fits their narrative. The LGBTQ, all that community, they're just like, well, we want to do things that fit our narrative. All the different things that are going on in the world, we're trying to get things to fit our narrative. Your narrative does not matter if it does not line up with the scriptures and what God has called you to do. He's called you to live a life. He's called you to live a lifestyle that is committed to giving him glory because he's going to get the glory out of your life. And so you want to hear God? Stop trying to hear what everybody else is saying and say, God, when you tell me what you want me to do, I'm not just going to hear it, but I'm also going to obey what you tell me to do. Do you hear what I'm telling you? And so that's what God has called us to do. That's what he's called us to do. And it's the truth anyhow. It's the truth. And that's why we speak the truth. Everybody else, everybody's got a narrative. You fit my narrative. Your narrative. Man, I'm telling you what. Your narrative has got to fit in with the word of God. Everybody else doesn't matter. Matter of fact, the Bible says, let everybody else be a liar, but God be true. Amen. You know who the first person that you need to be that needs to be found a liar? You. Because sometimes y'all say stuff that don't even line up with the word. You say stuff that don't even line up with the word. It's like, oh, man, that's really sounds good. Did that thought, was that thought that I just had? Where did that come from? That's why he says, take every thought captive and bring it to the obedience of Christ. It's got to come under subjection to Christ. What about this thought? Think about it. That thought, did that come across your mind? And this is what I hate about Satan. He'll give you the thought. He'll give you that thought. Plant it in your head. And then condemn you for thinking it in the first place. That's how the devil works. He'll give you that. You have that thought. You're like, man, oh, man, I can't believe you had that thought. And then he'll condemn you. That's what I'm saying. That's why he says. He tells you what to think on. Whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, think on those things. Set your affection, set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. He says that. Tells us what to think on. And so then he says, take those thoughts, every thought, every argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, every thought that comes to you, every argument that exalts it, tries to get up above what you know to be true about God from the word, tear it down, demolish it, cast it down. Nope, that thought doesn't line up with the word. Nope, that thought doesn't line up with the word. I'm not going to do it. That thought doesn't line up. I'm not going to do it. Not going to do it. And line up with this word. Amen? Amen. Amen. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Yes, I'm passionate about this, ladies and gentlemen. I know sometimes you'll be like, calm down. Like, I can't. Especially when the world is going to hell and the church is following the footsteps of the world. I'll get passionate about that. I'm tired of the church being accused of stuff and leaders and different things, all because they're following the footsteps of the world. It's like somebody said, somebody's like, well, what's this church going to be? Man, if we come in here on a Sunday morning and say, for instance, Pastor Jen loses her voice or which, God forbid, where is she? Anyway, I don't want that. There she is. I don't want that to happen. Bless her in the name of Jesus. We don't have a drummer. We don't have guitar. We don't have piano. We got no sound. And you come in here, we go, hey, we don't got no sound. I'm telling you, will we still praise the Lord anyway because he's worthy to be praised? Will we still bring the word because he's worthy and you need to be fed? We're going to still have, because we're not going to be a church that tries to follow the trend. We're going to be a church that follows the Lord. And we're going to follow the footsteps of the Lord. And you need to do it in your individual life, but we also need to do it as a corporate body. What is God saying and how are we going to follow in his footsteps? You know, I can say this now because we don't have anymore. We used to have fog machines, you know, that you try to, they said it would bring ambiance, you know. I just said I wanted to walk out in it, you know what I'm saying? I just kind of want to, whatever. But I just know ambiance, all you need is a willing spirit and somebody to come in and just say, I'm hungry for the things of God. I want to walk in his will and ways. Don't give me all the extra stuff. I don't need all that other stuff. Yes, we got to have chairs. And yes, we need to have air conditioning. By the way, guys, if you don't mind turning this one on, I'd appreciate it. We need all those different things. We get bathrooms, need to work, all that stuff. But what's going to happen when you don't have all that? Will you still give him the praise and the glory and the honor? Will you still? What if we didn't have anything? And I had to come up here and play a who had to blow a jug. And Vanessa had to come up here and do a washboard. You know what I'm saying? And then Pastor Kevin had to do the little bomb of ship rockets or whatever. Would you still praise the Lord because he's worthy to be praised? What would happen if we didn't have no lights? What would happen if we didn't have no lights? I'll light a candle and come in here and praise the Lord. Why? Because he's worthy of all of our praise. What would happen if they say that they're going to shut the doors and we'll go in the field because he's still worthy of all of our praise? What would happen if the church got rid of all the accessories and all the other access stuff and says, I want to worship God because he's worthy to be praised. I want to follow after him because he is the one that's changed my life. He's the one that has transformed me. He brought me out of the pit. He picked me up out of the miry clay and set my feet on a rock. He has changed my life and I'm going to serve him for the rest of mine. I'm going to give him everything that I have because he's given me everything that he has. Would we still be church and have church if we didn't have all the other stuff? Would you still follow after him if you didn't have? Job said, like, I came into this world with nothing and I'll leave with nothing. My dad said, I brought you in this world. Father, you know. Would we still have church? Would we still follow after him? He's looking for some people that just say, he wants to speak. So we need to be ones that would say, speak, Lord. Your servant, your son, your daughter, your servant is listening.